The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening, and can you hear me all right? The volume's loud enough? Okay. So welcome to IMC, and welcome to, hopefully, yourself. And the part of sitting and practicing is, in fact, to renew yourself, to come back to yourself, to be yourself. If maybe you never stop being yourself, but many people do. Many people lose themselves or try to be someone else than who they really are and try to not show who they are and all kinds of ways. But to come back and really be yourself. In some ways, that could be seen as the essence of Buddhism, to really come back and really be yourself anew. And but if you really do it in a fresh way, this wonderful thing happens that you get to disappear. Now, I don't know, maybe that doesn't sound very good, but it's pretty wonderful to really be here and present and be yourself, fully yourself, allow yourself to be completely yourself. Then if you allow yourself to be yourself completely, you don't have to define yourself. And when you define yourself, inevitably we become limited. Or we let other people define ourselves, we become limited. And so when we don't define ourselves, there's something disappears, the definitions disappear. And there's freedom there. It's a wonderful thing that happens. I practiced for many years in the Zen tradition. And in the Zen tradition, one of the ways where people practice this kind of being fully yourself at the same time, kind of disappearing into the moment, not vanishing, but having the definitions disappear because you're so fully here yourself, was through the practice or the attitude of saying yes to what's happening. To say yes. If you say no, if that's your instinct, first thing you say no, it tends to create definition, barriers, boundaries. It tends to, you know, stop something. And there's certainly times in life when we have to say no. But in Zen, I learned that you begin by saying yes. And what yes means that is you begin by just, in a sense, pausing for a moment, just kind of opening and turning towards whatever, ready to meet what's there. Someone asks you something ridiculous, and you don't say yes to them, not loud. That makes it complicated, but have an attitude of like, okay, let's look at this, let's meet this request, let's see what this is about. Yes, and then you take a few moments, and then you say, well, I don't think so. You know, so you take care of yourself, but you begin by this, you know, what is this kind of possibility, expansion, that we can live in a world of yes. So the founder of the San Francisco Zen Center was a teacher named Suzuki Roshi. I didn't know him, but I practiced at his center for many years. And some wonderful quotes from him about yes. When you say yes, you forget all about yourself and are refreshed into some new self. Before the new self becomes an old self, you should say another yes. So the old self is the one that can say, you know, not now, or I want something, or, you know, this is who I am. But there's something about a new self kind of just there, new, fresh, open, to discover both what's here, but also to discover yourself. And this is one of the things also I learned from Zen, is Zen practice, is that the idea that you only discover who you are in how you meet the next moment or how the next moment meets you, that you don't carry with you some idea of who you are from the past. I mean, you can do that for certainly. I mean, people do that all the time. But in Zen practice, the idea is that you don't carry something along. And, you know, you took a class on U 101, and you passed the exam, and you know exactly who you are, and, you know, and so you don't need to study yourself anymore. You know who you are, and you carry it with you. You maybe have a little badge, you know, with your name on it, and your profession, and your place, and your family, and, you know, all kinds of wonderful things. You know who you are, or your preferences. And then, but in Zen, the idea is you don't know yourself if you have old news of who you are, but you discover who you are in the moment that you engage. So I'm drinking, I'm sitting up here, I'm thirsty, and I discover who I am as I drink the glass. Drink the water. And then I put it down, and that's gone. But I was the water drinker. I was the water being drunk, you know. So, this. Suzuki Roshi says yes and get refreshed. He also said, the secret, we always want to know the secret, especially from a spiritual teacher. The secret is just to say yes. When someone asks you to do something, the secret is just say yes when someone asks you to do something. Jump up out of your seat. Then there is no problem. It means you will be yourself without sticking to an old self. When you say self, you forget all about yourself and refreshed into some new self. And before the new self becomes an old self, you should say another yes. So a longer version of the same one. Quote. So this, I was kind of reminded of this because this last 5 days or so, I was helping to teach the Spirit Rock Family Retreat. It's kind of a little bit like a hybrid of Buddhist summer camp and a meditation retreat for kids from the age of 5 to 15 and their parents. And if you've ever been to Spirit Rock, you would not recognize the place. And right kind of across from the dining hall, the driveway there, just slightly uphill, there's a big art tent with blankets, and there's all this art goes on. And the driveway from the whole driveway, whole up to the meditation hall, becomes a canvas for graffiti, chalk graffiti. And mostly people write each other's names, and they add nice things about them. It's kind of, the kids are running and screaming, and there's music, lots of music. And if you've ever been to that beautiful, pristine, quiet courtyard outside the meditation hall, it's peaceful. It's like you said, you come out of the meditation. It's like so still and quiet, and they have a little bit of water, like a little pond that's completely still water with a Buddha in the middle, a statue, and it's just pristine and nice. And then there's, 20, 30, 40 kids screaming and drumming and rattles and with, mics and speakers blasting away. It's a whole different place. You can't believe it. And the theme for this year was loving kindness, was metta. And there's three full days. The first day was loving kindness for oneself. The second day was loving kindness for others. And the third day was the category the Buddha called self and others. And it's kind of like maybe hyphenated, self and others, or like it's a unit, it's one thing. And the idea is that, you probably know some of the idea that there's you, there's me, and there's we. That's like a third entity in the relationship is the we, or the third, the missing link in the family unit is the we. There's a thing almost, the we, the dynamic, the process, And we have to take care of the we, the community we're in as well. And so on Saturday we were teaching, you know, just how to care for the community. And so I said, it's the we. And then I said, well, it just happens to be that, I said, who knows how to speak French? And you know what we means in French? And these kids' hands flew up. Some of them knew. And they said, it means yes. And I said, what was that? Yes. What was that? Can more of you say it? And so then they all said, yes. And that was the kind of the theme for being in community. That when you're in community, any community at all, that the practice of caring for the community is a practice of beginning with saying yes, or the attitude of yes. Meaning that, as I said earlier, it doesn't mean you have to agree. You don't have to jump out of your seat and do something because they say it. But you open to the possibility. You open to discover what's here. You are available to discover that something is new. Maybe it's not what you thought it was. If you say no, you might be operating from your old habits, your old assumptions. And you might miss actually what's going on. But if you say yes, or that attitude of, let's look at this, let's meet this, let's turn towards this. What is this? And meet it, not cower, not pull back, not... And also a kind of yes, we're also not acquisitive and greedy, like, yes, I want that, but just kind of a open, the kind of open presence and turning towards something where we do kind of disappear, or parts of us disappear. The old assumptions, the judgments, the fears, the fixed sense of self of who we are. But yeah, okay. So if you don't like the word yes, then okay. Yeah, okay, I got to step up and face this, meet this as well. And then you have a few moments with it, and then you can decide if it's appropriate to jump out of your seat and respond or not. But you always, you know, what's this? Turn towards this. One of the ways that this was kind of inculcated in Zen training, for me at least, was that in the meditation hall, you were never supposed to say no. In the meditation hall itself. So always had to say yes. And the main opportunity you have to say, there's a number of places in the meditation hall you could say yes. One was if you were sitting in the brink of enlightenment, sitting there meditating all day, and this is it. You're sure. It's about to happen. And this is like, good, you've been practicing for years for your full, perfect enlightenment or something like that. And the director comes into the meditation hall during meditation and taps you on the shoulder and says, we need you right now in the kitchen. No! But rather, okay. So you jump out of your seat and you go to the kitchen. And you might think that there's a loss, but there's a gain in the ease and the freedom not to hold on to anything. Something to be had about just that open-handedness, not holding on. Just this, I'll do. Or when the bell rings at the end of a meditation in a Vipassana retreats, some people keep sitting. Some people will sit like, you know, for another 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and they're having a good time or whatever, and who knows what they're doing, but they're sitting. They don't feel like getting up. In Zen, the bell rings, you say yes to the bell, meaning you get up. And if you don't get up, then you're not part of the community because everyone's getting up to end. So it has its pluses and minuses both ways, but the attitude is, you know, yes, okay, next. I'll let go of what I'm doing. I'll let go of my ideas and assumptions and step into the next moment that's being asked of me. The other place in the Zen training where this was taught, in the Zendo, in the meditation hall, was during retreats in Zen, we would eat in the meditation hall. And we'd eat in platforms, a little bit like the one I'm sitting on, where there'd be a black zabuton like I'm sitting on, and then about a foot on the wood platform between the zabuton and the edge of the platform. And that would be the table. And you'd set out these bowls, three bowls, and people come in, you'd be sitting in meditation posture, and people would come in and serve you food. They come with pots, they put it down in front of you, and you'd hold up your bowl, and they put the food in, and there's a lot of bowing, and it's, you know, if you really get into it, and it's very choreographed. It takes a while to learn all the little movements of hands and everything, but it's like a little bit like tea ceremony. It's kind of nice, and you kind of stay in a meditative mode. But one of the rules is they come serve you food, right? And it isn't like, you know, well, show me the menu. You know, or do you have anything else? You know, it's just, this is, you know, so you never say no, at least when I was there, you never said no, no matter what they brought. And I had a food allergy then. And back then I had an allergy against wheat. But there was a lot of wheat. And so, you're allowed to kind of, you know, you couldn't say no, but you could go like this. You could take your fingers really close together, and you learn to make it really small, like stick your little, you know, go like this. You pinch your forefinger and your thumb together, take little, and put it right in front of their eyes. Like, you know, I really mean it. So, you know, at least by the letter of the law, you're still getting saying yes. But just the idea that you'd say yes, that would be the instinct, that would be the first thing, was very powerful for me. And I feel like I benefited from that to kind of, it certainly overcame some of my tendencies for resistance, to resist things, to resist what's going on. And that, you know, sometimes my first instinct was to resist. You know, someone could come and they start opening their mouth to say something to me, and already I was saying no. I didn't even know what they're asking. So, yes. So I want to read a poem that is a little bit like saying yes. And it says that the version I got it from, it says it's written by Shodo Harada Roshi. And he's a Zen teacher I studied with in Japan. He was a very tough and very strict practitioner. And we had these kind of strict Zen retreats with him, and during the sesshins, I would sit next to him in the meditation hall. So it was kind of privileged, just next to the Zen master. And in Zen, they're famous for going around, in Japan at least, going around and hitting you with a stick if you fall asleep. Yes, back. But he would never hit me because I was sitting next to him. And I'd fall asleep, and he'd reach over, and he'd yank on my sleeves of my Zen robes. That's how he kept me awake. And great man. And so there was one, you know, I think he grew up very poor. I always had the impression he had been a very poor person, a very humble monk. And back then he had robes that were all, he'd worn for years and years. They were patched up robes. And one day we were in the kitchen cleaning up after a meal. And someone had finished cleaning the pots and stuff. And I guess there was, you know, we had noodles. And there was one long strand of noodles in the drain. And he came over and said, "We never waste anything. Never." And he picked up the noodle and ate it. That was his, you know. You know, everything has a place. If you say yes, you meet. You don't say no to something. Anyway, this is the carrot. So it might be written by a student. I have this feeling. But in any case, it's a... In this passing moment, karma ripens, and all things come to be. I vow to choose what is. If there is cost, I choose to pay. If there is need, I choose to give. If there is pain, I choose to feel. If there is sorrow, I choose to grieve. When burning, I choose heat. When calm, I choose peace. When starving, I choose hunger. When happy, I choose joy. Whom I encounter, I choose to meet. What I shoulder, I choose to bear. When it is my death, I choose to die. Where this takes me, I choose to go. Being with what is, I respond to what is. This life is as real as a dream. The one who knows it cannot be found. And truth is not a thing. Therefore, I vow to choose this Dharma entrance gate. May all Buddhas and wise ones help me live this vow. In Mahayana Buddhism, they many times make vows. And his vows is to say yes, and his stated in a different way, is to choose what is. In the kitchen, when he chose to reprimand us. When the students need to be reprimanded, I choose to reprimand them. But there's a kind of a freedom in what he's talking about here. Given what is, you choose what is. And do you do that? Are you dissatisfied with what you have? Do you want something different? Are you angry at what goes on with you? Do you pity yourself sometimes for what's happening? Do you have, you know, great vision and ambition that's someplace else? I mean, all those things are reasonable human responses to what goes on in our life. But maybe there's not much freedom in that. And so this movement of choosing, the intentional choosing, can there be freedom in that? If you're sick, what's the difference between choosing to be sick, not in a resigning yourself to being sick and not doing anything about it, not going to the doctor or anything like that, but what is it like you're sick, to choose to be sick, as opposed to, what are some of the alternatives to choosing to be sick that probably just make you sicker? What are some of the alternatives that you're familiar with? Someone want to offer some words? What? Denial? Resentment. That's a favorite. What?
Being stricken.
What does stricken mean? Oh, to feel, be a victim. Oh no, it's like, oh, I can't believe it. Not again. It's a reason. Some people have, you know, it's not difficult. Some people are sick a lot and have serious chronic illness. And so, you know, it's understandable. But what happens if we say yes, choose it? It's a kind of a challenging teaching, the teaching of saying yes, the teaching of choosing what you have. There's a lot of psychological forces in us that can operate, that can prevent us from choosing what we have, choosing what is, choosing this moment, saying yes to what's here this time. There's a lot of messages from our society and our family that reinforces the idea that in some way or other we're supposed to say no. Some way or other it's supposed to be different. But to have an attitude, the first attitude is to turn towards what is and allow it to be there and meet it. Yes. This is what is. I choose what is. But not passively, not to be rolled over, not to be, you know, the car is barreling down on this road as you cross the sidewalk, this crosswalk, and you see the car and you go, yes. Yeah, you know, that's, you know, so, you know, you have to understand what I'm saying is not, you know, it's not the same thing as not taking care of yourself. But this, you know, oh, this, here. And then to be refreshed by that. The Suzuki Roshi said being refreshed by the yes. And be refreshed means we let go of the tiredness. We let go of the limitations, let go of the weight that we carry with us, to be lightened by it. So this is so the meditation hall in Zen is called a zendo, the meditation hall. And so Suzuki Roshi said when you about coming into the zendo. The moment you enter the zendo, you should forget everything and be ready to start a new life. Isn't that nice? How many of you started a new life when you came to sit down here? I didn't. But by the end of the sitting, I felt like I was close to it. You know, end of the sitting, so much dropped away, and my day dropped away, and I felt pretty light and fresh, and it was kind of nice. Suzuki Roshi could do it quickly. I could do it slowly. So here's another quote from him about the being fresh. Talking about his Zen practice. Our practice is a practice of settling oneself on oneself, which means to always have a new, fresh experience of your true self. So coming home and being yourself fully, but that kind of being yourself where you, again, as I said earlier, the definitions of who you are, the history of who you are, the history of all your experiences you've had fall away, and you meet this moment fresh. Just this. Just this. And what's marvelous about life, Zen practice, Buddhist practice, Buddhist training, is that sooner or later we're given limitations. We're given things that it's so easy to say it shouldn't be this way. I mean, it's in Zen training they say, Zen training, the claim is they're just speeding that process up of limiting you. And, you know, earlier in life you think you can go around and do all kinds of things, but in Zen training in the monastery you like wake up bells at 4 o'clock, you get up. You don't have to say yes, but you have to get up. And it doesn't matter if you say no, you get up. But it's easier if you say yes. And then you eat the food that's given. And there's a whole schedule through the day of what you have to do. And then they tell you what kind of work you do. You don't get to choose your work. Now you have to do that. So there's all this limit, and you can't move. You sit in meditation and you can't move. You can't choose to move. You have to choose to be still. And Zen, right? And so you're being limited. So what's happening is we're getting a first-hand, quick experience of a very natural human phenomena that happens to all human lives. Sooner or later, our life is not what we want it to be. And we can't have the freedom to do whatever we want. And where life is limited, we get sick, we get injured, all kinds of things happen. And so in the limitation of Zen training, the opportunity there is to discover how to be free in that. How to say yes, how to open up, how to be, Suzuki Roshi, how to be refreshed, how to let go, and just this, be with this, discover who we are. So what do you choose? And do you choose your life as it is? Can you choose this that you have? And in doing that, are you refreshed? Are you find a heightened vitality and a wonderful life to live? So I'd like to end with one more quote from Suzuki Roshi. And so this is so a student asked him, but what happens if something happens to you, meaning if he dies, and you can't be our teacher anymore? And Suzuki Roshi said, that cannot happen. I'm always with you forever. I'm always with you forever. And I believe that the clue to understand what he means by I'll always be there forever is when you say yes, let go of all your definitions, and are fresh without yourself weighing yourself down. Then you'll understand what he's talking about. I'll always be with you forever. So, any questions, any yeses, or any noes? I'll say no. I'll say yes to your no, if that's what you want. Yes, Mary. No, sorry, please wait for a moment.
My main practice is Mahayana, and I fought the koans. And I thought, I'm just going to just go to Vipassana. Nobody has to worry about koans and Vipassana. And then something came to me that I was there because that's where I was supposed to be.
Mm.
And that when I stopped fighting, and the whole process changed. So I said yes to that.
Mm.
And this may
so,
be...
So if I may, so people don't here know what a koan is. So you were struggling against this practice of being given these enigmatic questions that you had to kind of deal with and come up with responses to. And as long as you were struggling with them, you couldn't pass those questions. But when you finally said, chose to just yes to this and just be there and relax, then the process unfolded by itself.
Well, that's the thing that's so different from my way. I was always a struggler and I have a large family. So I thought that's the way it is. But and you said something earlier about your identities. I was going to write them all down because I'm getting close to the end. I won't want to even forget. And I saw that those are not my identities, and that was very freeing. But this may be too personal for you, but I've been wondering why you moved to Vipassana from your Zen training. Hmm. You don't need to answer that if you don't want to.
No, I don't. Let's see. Well, this is an example, right? My first thought was actually no. but admitting it is part of saying yes. Just like this is how it is. I think the reason to say no is... we only have 9 minutes, and it's a bit of a story, I think. And I right now I'm a little bit tired, so I can't come up with a short, I think, precise answer. I don't think. One short answer is that it's fairly common in American Buddhism, in America, to have people who are both Christian and Buddhist, Jewish and Buddhist. It's pretty common. In fact, you're studying Zen with a Christian priest, right? Mm-hmm. Catholic priest.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing both, right? So it's not a problem. So in the same way, I think I'm allowed to be both a Zen Buddhist and a Vipassana Buddhist, right? So I don't feel like there's a conflict with them. It's just like kind of two different religions or approaches that I find I can hold together harmoniously. That's one answer. And the other answer is that in December, about somewhere between 4 to 7, 8 years ago, I gave a talk about this. And so if you go on Audio Dharma and look at December's months, you know, not that many talks I gave in that month over that span of time. I think it's in the title. It probably says Zen in the title. And my story is there.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
So let's say that you get sick and you get somehow irritated by being sick again.
Yes.
Do you say yes to the irritation or yes to the sickness?
Try both. But I think you want to say yes to whatever is first. So if what is, if what is irritation, there's a wonderful way to say yes. You don't say, I'm supposed to say yes to everything. I missed my chance. I'm irritated and I just blew it. And I'm just, and I'm no good and lousy. And, you know, and this is, you know, like, I can't do this yes practice. But you're irritated, so you say yes to irritation. I choose to be irritated. I'm irritated. I choose to be irritated. And then find your way through it. With that kind of attitude of being open, you meet it and you kind of recognize, oh, this is what's happening. Make space for it. And then you can study it, you can understand it, you can be wise about it. So if you're irritated, say yes.
Okay, thank you.
And then, but again, remember, yes is not the same thing as condoning something or agreeing to it or you know, or, you know, just kind of and just kind of going along with it blindly. There's a different. This yes is a yes of, oh, I'll open to it and see what is this. And, yeah, okay, I'll be here for it. I'll meet it. That's what.
Sometimes it happens that it lasts for a long time that you're irritated about something, right? And then is there a moment where you say, I don't know, too much or. Yeah. Or you just say, "All right, yes,
well,
I'm irritated. All right, I'm
okay.
irritated," and
well,
so on and so
well,
on.
Well, say you're irritated for a long time, and after a while you say, "This is too much." What option do you have?
Yes. I don't know.
If you don't have any options, I guess then you just, you know, if you don't accept the fact that you're irritated, then you just suffer even more. But there might be options. One option is to try to understand why you're irritated. And so you kind of go a little under the surface and see what's really going on. Another option is to begin, that's why mindfulness practice is so helpful, is to really get, not why, but what is actually happening for you when you're irritated. And one of the reasons to say yes to things is to really kind of discover in a deep inner way what's really happening. So what's really happening when I'm irritated? What's going on physically? Am I tense anywhere? What's going on emotionally? A fair amount of resentment is a secondary emotion to some deeper emotion. Sometimes what's deeper than resentment is hurt. Sometimes there's fear, and so sometimes if you drop below the resentment and discover that deeper emotions, it changes the game. So what, one of the options, say yes, and then be present and study it and get to know it and let it show itself to you more fully. Another option, if your irritation, resentment goes on for too long, I don't know what too long is, but, you know, if the same resentment's kind of just, you know, just having a great time with you and it goes on for a few years, it might be time to go to therapy.
Thank you.
Yes, please. There's another mic that we can send over there.
Saying yes reminds me of what I've heard about improv theater training. And what keeps the conversation going and makes it interesting and lively is that each response needs to be a yes. Because when somebody responds or adds in with a no, it stops.
Thank you.
water. So anyway, so I agree with you that improv is has a great, we can learn from that, that we say yes to everything and then we can find our way and hopefully also become wise so we don't say yes in the wrong way. You know, someone, you're doing improv and someone says, you know, can I jump up and down on your head? You know, you don't say, you don't, you know, there's some yeses which don't work and some yeses that work, right? You don't say, sure, let me lay down here and you can jump on me. But rather, you know, say, can I jump up and down your head? And I don't know, and you kind of take your hands and kind of make a round oval kind of shape and say it's right here and put it down on the ground. And then they jump on that nothing that's there, but that's representing your head, you know, so you could go play with it, right? So I think, you know, life is, and occasionally I've asked students of mine to take improv classes because I felt that would really help their Buddhist practice. They needed that because it's such a powerful training to do. So I want to end with this thing that I started to say when the mic was off, that at the family retreat that I just finished teaching, the idea, teaching of yes, I related it to the idea of being in community, the we, the family unit, the, you know, your society, our world, the world family, who we are. Is there something, and for the families, to this community, for our world, society, to really work together as a harmoniously, I think we need to learn how to say yes to each other more. This in the way I'm talking about it, to open and meet and be fresh in that yes, so we don't carry with us our old ideas and definitions of each other and resentments, and, you know, just be fresh and kind of see and meet each other in a newer and fuller way. And if we say yes, then I think there's a lot more peace for all of us. So I hope that some of you will take on this practice of yes this week and that you'll have fun. Life is much better with yes than with no. And if you need to say no, which you sometimes need to do, see if you can say it in a way through a yes. Don't assume it has to be through a no. Sometimes no's can be said with a yes. So, for example, with this funny thing with the, I want to jump up and down on your head in improv, and you just say, oh, sure, and you hand them, you know, something different to jump up and down on. It's all pretend anyway, so. Okay. Thank you all very much.